All right, Rabosai, good morning. Welcome to the last daf of Maseches Moed Katan. Today's daf is Chof Tes, but of course we don't start on today's daf. So Meretz Hashem, we're going to pick up on daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, the two dots by the Gemara. Last short line on the page, my Amram. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara spoke about three different types of almost like dirges that were chanted at Levayas. So the Gemara spoke about the Ma'anos, the Metapchos, the Kino. So now the Gemara says, my Amran. So what are some examples of like some of the dirges that were said at Levayas, like the popular ones, you know, like top 10? You know, what were things that were said? So Amar Rav said, Vay la'azla, vay la'chavla. Woe to those who go on the journey. Woe to those who go to security. Okay, Amar Rav. So we'll say, obviously, all of these are, we're going to see, are different metaphors for death, and depending on, these are examples of things that were used for different kinds of people at different times. Amar Rav, Noshi d'shchansiv, Amran hachi. The women of Shchansiv would often say the following dirge at the Levaya. Vay la'azla, vay la'chavila. Again, same thing. Woe to the journey, woe to the security. Again, I will say, so the journey, of course, a reference to death. Woe to the security could be lack of security, in that, again, when one is living, there's a certain element of one feels secure in their existence. Now that life is over, ultimately that security has been shattered. Or just the opposite, that one is journeying ultimately again to the security of Olam Haba. V'amar Rava, Nashi d'Shchansiv Amran, another example of what the women of Shchansiv used to say. Gud garma mikacha. Literally, the tooth has been ripped from the bone. Vinamti maya la'antichi. And the water has gone back to the kettle. So we'll say the logic behind this. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says over here, the tooth ripped to the bone represents the idea of going, I mean, death represents a regression. The truth is, the cycle of life is a regression as well, right? If you think about it again, as we get older, you know, a person loses their teeth, a person loses their hair, so right, ultimately becoming almost more childlike as we go on. So ultimately, they used to say the tooth has been literally cut or ripped from the bone, which means a person has lost their teeth. The water has gone back to the kettle, which represents a reversal. So now death represents, again, going back to the earth, from which we originally came. Va'amar Rava, Nashi d'Shchansiv Amran, the women of Shchansiv used to say, Atuf v'kasu turi, literally let the mountains cloak themselves, debar rami ubar rav revihu, because this man was a great individual. So literally, they used to say, let the mountains cloak themselves like in mourning. Let them cloak themselves in avelus, because a great man has just passed away. Va'amar Rava, Nashi d'Shchansiv Amran, the women of Shchansiv used to say, Shayul Itztila dimelasa. The coffin was actually a very interesting image. The coffin is like a cloak of fine silk, lebar churin, to a free man, dishalimu zavade, who has finished his provisions. And I will say, now what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, shiul itztila dimelasa, kilomar yafa misa, kimabu shalmilas. I will say, this is such a beautiful, it's an interesting image. The coffin is like a garment of silk, essentially, to one who has led a productive life. Meaning, to he who has maximized life, there is nothing to fear in death. To he who has maximized life, the coffin ultimately is a bakavadik garment, because the coffin represents the idea he's run his course in life, he's done here, and he needs to do in life, and ultimately he is ready to go ahead and return his neshama back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very, very, very gripping. Very gripping. But Amar Rava, Rava said, Nashi d'Shchansiv Amran, the women of Shchansiv used to say, so apparently, again, it must be that the women of Shchansiv were very talented in terms of their ability to deliver moving words at Levayas. So the women of Shchansiv said, Rohit v'nafil amabra v'yizufta Yosef. So we'll say literally, he ran and he fell. Amabra v'yizufta Yosef, at the crossing he borrows. Okay, so Rashi says over here, okay, so the Gemara, not Rashi yet. So Amrava, Nashi d'Shchansiv Amran, Achana Tagri. So Achana, Rashi says over here, means. Okay, so Achana means our brothers. Tagri means merchants. Azav Azav zigi mivdugu. The nests are going to be searched. We'll say another moving image, which is again brothers merchants. So what does it mean, brothers and merchants? So both. So let's go work backwards. The nests are going to be searched, which means what? That when we die, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at how we lived our lives. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at when he searches how we lived our lives? Brothers, he looks at our interpersonal relationships. How did we treat others? How did we interact with others? And merchants, what does he look at? He looks at how we conducted our business dealings. Just know that when you die, the nest is searched. Again, it's so dramatic. V'aman Rava, Nashid Ishchansev Avran, the women of Ishchansev used to say, Mosa ki Mosa, Umarin chibule, another profound statement. One death is like another death, but suffering is the interest payment. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Mosa, kala dames, everyone dies. Marin chibulya ha'isurin hein babayis. So we'll say, amazing enough. So they used to say, well, everybody dies. Everybody dies. So what varies in the death process? How much ultimately, again, one has to suffer. Okay, Tanya, we'll say this is really like, it's a very profound Gemara. Tanya, Hayy Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir used to say, Tov laleches el beis evel, ad v'achayitin libo. So we'll say, this is the famous pasuk. You know, definition of a famous pasuk is, you know, one that you know, right? That's what makes it famous. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Tov laleches el beis evel mileches el beis mishta. It is better to go to a house of mourning than it is to go to a house of celebration. Ba'asheru sof kala adam, because this is the end of all man. V'achay yitin el libo. And the living will take it to heart. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, v'achay yitin el libo? Dvarim shel misa. A person will take matters of death to heart. Now, we'll say, the way we normally understand that is what that means is, what Shlomo Melech is saying, is the power of going to a Levaya is that it forces an individual to contemplate their own mortality. Right? Remember, again, we live life, normally we live life assuming that life is an infinite renewable resource. No problem, I mess up today, or I waste today, it's not a problem, there's tomorrow, I messed up the last 10 years, no problem, there'll be another 10 years, and the truth is, that's not true. We don't know how much time we have. So a person goes to a levaya, they realize life is a finite, non-renewable resource. It energizes the way you live. However, again, Rameir takes a different approach. Rameir says, he says, yispedune. You know what we learn? We learn a person should always realize, if you eulogize others, others will eulogize you. Diyikbar yikberune. If you bury others, others will bury you. Diyit on yit anune. If you carry the bier, you carry the casket of others, others will carry you. Diyadal yidlune. Now we'll say yadal yidlune. If you look at Rashi, kilomar magbien behaspilimish magbia kolo behaspilachirim. Yidal yidlune. It literally means if you raise your voice in crying for another, with hespit for another, others will raise their voice in crying and eulogizing you. The Ikeda army. So we'll say, what Rabbi Meir is saying is something so profound that essentially, and this is an incredible statement in life in general, that if you want others to be there for you in your time of need, you have to be there for others in their time of need. Very important to so. Now here it's talking about the end of life. If at the end of the day you want to make sure that the needs for your levaya, the needs for your final passage are taken care of, make sure you're there for others. But if you're never there for others, do not expect people ultimately to be there for you. The Ikadam, others explain, actually that last piece is reversed. The lo yidal yidlune. He who does not lift himself up, will be lifted up. Meaning, we'll say now, and according to this approach in the Gemara, what that is referring to is humility, right? If a person does not try to make himself great, by definition, he will be made great. Dichsiv, ki tov amar lecha alei hino. So he quotes over here the pasuk from Mishlei, ki tov amar lecha alei hino me'ashpil chalif ne'adim asheru einecha. So the pasuk talks about the idea, you made yourself low, now I'm picking you up. Tanur Rabbanan, we'll say another profound Gemara. Turn around, I'm going to keep stop saying it, but it's really, they're all, they're just, Kishemesu banosh Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel's sons died. So apparently, again, Rabbi Shmuel lost two sons when his sons died, and he lost them at once. Nichnesu, or it could be that he lost them in succession. So Nichnesu dalazikin lenachemo. Four elders, four of his peers came in to be Menachem Avon. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi, Aglil, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Tarfon said, Du'u, Shechacham Gadol, who know that Rabbi Yishmael is a great Talmud Chacham, Ubaki Ba'agados, and he is an expert again in the Homiletic passages of the Gemara. Al Yikanis Adam Lochem Lusoch Tivrei Chavero. So this is very interesting. So apparently Rabbi Tarfon tells them, just whatever you're going to say, make sure it's intelligent. Right, Jabosai, you know, again, some of the most unintelligent things are said at a base avel. Some of the most unintelligent things. Right? So first of all, again, you always have to make sure that what you say actually makes sense. And it's okay, sometimes it's hard to find the right words. What do you do if you can't find the right words? Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Just sit there. Just sit there and be there along with the avel. Here is even more. Here what it's saying is, these Talmidei Chacham were obviously going to quote Torah sources in order to make Rabbi Shmuel give him a little bit of nechama. Rabbi Tarfon says, make sure you guys, you have something good and don't repeat. Don't repeat. Don't say the same thing that everyone else is saying. I'm Rabbi Akiva Niachar. Rabbi Akiva said, I'll go last. We all say, well, Rabbi Akiva was confident, apparently, that he didn't want to go first because he was nervous that if he went first, others might repeat what he said. But he was confident that after hearing what everyone else said, he'd be able to go ahead and come up with something new. Pasach Rabbi Yishmael. So you can imagine this scene. So here you have Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, all sitting around Rabbi Yishmael for Nichum Avelim. So Rabbi Yishmael begins to speak first. Rabbi Yossi is the halacha. The other, as we saw already earlier in the Masech, that has to be the first one to speak. So Rabbi Yishmael says, Va'amar Rabu Avosenu, his Rabu Avonosav, his sins have become great. Tachfu Avelov, right? His mourning is compounded. Hitriach Rabosav Parmishona Ushnia. He has caused his Rebbe, his teachers, to come once and to come twice. So this is Rabbi Shmuel speaking about himself. Rabbi Shmuel saying is, I feel that all of this is happening because of my sins. I feel ultimately again, I've been beset by tragedy, by difficulty. I've made you now come out twice. So now that Rabbi Shmuel opened the dialogue, the other rabbis have the ability to speak. Not in Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon said the following, V'achichem kol b'Yisrael yivku es asreifa. Rabbi said, by the death of Nadav and Avihu. So the Torah says, Moshe Benu says to Aaron, that all of Klal Yisrael will go ahead and cry for the death of Nadav and Avihu, for that which was burned. Followed from Kal v'chomer, and now there's a Kal v'chomer, Uman Nadav Avihu shlo ase ele mitzvah achos, Nadav and Avihu only did one mitzvah. What does that mean? Dichsiv vayakrivu evayakrivu b'nei Aaron es hadam. Well, so remember, Nadav and Avihu did partake of the temple of the Mishkan service on the beginning of the eighth day. So they only served a very minor role. And yet all of Klal Yisrael was going to mourn them, despite the fact they served a very minor role for a very short amount of time. Kach banav Rabbi Shmuel achas kama v'kama. All the more so the sons of Rabbi Yishmael, who were great Talmidei Chachamim, who served a role for so much longer, of course will be mourned by the entire Jewish people. That was the first nechama. Na'an Rabbi Yossi Halili. Rabbi Yossi Halili then began to speak. And he said, Va'amar, v'sapdu lo kol Yisrael, v'kavru oso. So the Pasuk says in Malachim, they will eulogize him, and all the Klal Yisrael will bury him. Who is this talking about? Lo kavachomer. Uma Avia ben Yeravam. Now, when it comes to Avia, the son of Yeravam, who was the Melech Yisrael, Shalo Asa Ela Davar Echatov, he only did one good thing in his life. Tchsiv Bey Ya'an Nimtza Bo Davar Tov, because the Navi says that there was one good thing. We'll discuss what it is that Avia ben Yeravam did, and yet what he's going to be mourned. He's going to be eulogized by all of Klal Yisrael. Kach banav Rabbi Yishmael lachas kama v'kama. All the more, Rabbi Yishmael, your sons, who did so much more than one good thing, will certainly be mourned by the entire Jewish people. Asks the Gemara, by the way, my Davar Tov, what was the one good thing that Avia ben Yeravam did? Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yossi, remember, Avia ben Yeravam was not a good guy, and he was the son of a serious Russia, Yeravam ben Nevat. So Yeravam ben Nevat was the Melech al Yisrael. Again, we'll see. So he says, what was the one good thing that Avia ben Yeravam did? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Chanin, Bar Papa, Chad Amar, Shebital Mishmarto, Ova Ola Regal, Vechad Amar, Shebital Pardeso, Shehoshev Yeravam Aviv Allah Drachim, Shalo Ya'alu Yisrael Regal. So we'll say there's a dispute. Here's what Yeravam ben Nevat did. Yeravam ben Nevat posted guards, posted sentries on the road up to Yerushalayim to prevent his constituents in Malchus Yisrael from being Ola Regel to the Beis HaMikdash. Because Rav Ben Nevat knew that if the Jews would continue to be Ola Regel, then what would happen? At some point in time, the monarchy would once again reunify. And if the monarchy reunifies, what's going to happen? Rav Ben Nevat is out of a job. So what did he do? He posted sentries on the road to turn people back if they tried to go out and be Ola Regel. So there's two opinions on what his son Aviyah did. According to the first opinion, Aviyah was one of the guards. And Aviyah abandoned his post and was Ola Regel. According to the second approach, once his father died, Aviyah went ahead and he was Mevatel. He negated these guard posts altogether and allowed people to be Ola Regel if they so chose. And that was the one Zuchus he had. And because of that one Zuchus, all of Klal Yisrael mourned him when he died. So they said to Rabbi Shmuel, if for one thing all of Klal Yisrael mourned him, certainly for your sons. Na'anet Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah now, it was his turn. Va'amar, b'shalom Tomos, you will die in a state of shalom. U'b'misrafos avosecha ha'malachim ha'rishnam ha'shahayu lefanecha kein. Yisrafu l'cha. And the same way they burned the belongings of your fathers who came before you, they will burn yours. And we'll say, this is talking about the Tzidkio, the king of Yehuda. And we'll say, remember, the burning of the belongings was something that was done for kings. So very often when a king died, some of his personal effects were burned. Why? Because you are not permitted, a commoner or even another king is not permitted to use the personal effects of the previous king. So here the Navi is telling Tzidkio, you're going to die b'shalom, and your personal possessions are going to be burned just like the personal possessions of your forefathers. Now Tzidkio, the king of Yehuda, only did one good thing. Now both sides, we're going to see that's not Tzidkio, was a very righteous individual. What the Gemara is going to say over here, well, we'll see. Only did one good thing. Shehela Yirmiyahu min Atit. So what happened, I'll say, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, we'll see, was running away. The reason why Yirmiyahu HaNavi was running away, Yirmiyahu was not very popular. That unfortunately is the downside of the job of being the prophet of destruction. You don't really make a lot of friends. So one time he was running away and actually he got stuck. He got stuck in a pit of tit. He got stuck in a pit of mora, quicksand. And Tzidkio saved him. Tzidkio saved Yirmiyo. Despite the fact that, again, remember, Yirmiyo prophesizes about Tzidkio's own destruction and demise. Tzidkio saves him. Kach banav shal bishmal achas kama v'kama. All the more so, the sons of Rabbi Shmuel will be more. So, as you can see, the common denominator here of all of these pieces of Nechama was that if for individuals who accomplished relatively little, right, and only perhaps did one or two significant things in their lives, yet Klal Yisrael mourns them, Rabbi Shmuel, the loss of your sons will be acutely felt by all of Klal Yisrael because of the dominant role they played. Rabbi Shmuel, it's also a very interesting insight into Nechama. What does a person, when a person has a loss, you know, the most comforting thing is what? Is knowing that others are sharing your pain, that others are there alongside of you. That's what it is, because nothing could bring back your loved one, but it's like, Imo Anochi Betzara, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to give us Nechama? God says, I just want you to know, I'm with you, you don't suffer alone. Nechama is when I know that I don't suffer alone. So essentially they're all telling Rabbi Shmuel, we just want you to know, we feel your loss. All of Klal Yisrael feels your loss, because again, the absence of your sons will be something that is felt by all of Klal Yisrael. What happened? Yes?
What's the Nechama if they keep picking people that only did like one mitzvah?
Because that's the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer is if a person... No, what they're saying is if Klal Yisrael mourns people even accomplished so little, imagine how the intensity of national mourning is going to be for your sons. So now in Rabbi Akiva, so we'll say now we've gone through everyone, Rabbi Akiva's last. Rabbi Akiva says, Ba'amar, Bayomahu, on that day, here the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Zechariah, Bayomahu, Yigdal ha-mispei b'Yerushalayim, on that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great, k'mispeid hadadrimon bebikas Megidon, as the mourning for hadadrimon in the valley of Megiddo. Okay, so the Gemara says, Va'am Rav Yosef, now this is all Rabbi Akiva talking. Rabbi Yosef said, Il molei targumei dehaikra, if were not for the targum of this particular pasuk, lo hava yedana maika amar, I would have no idea what the pasuk is talking about. Because we don't know who, I mean, we know who an adrimon is, but we don't know what the pasuk is talking about. So what is the pasuk talking about?
We
We saw this Gemara Megillah speaking about again Yemos HaMashiach. So here the Gemara is going to look at it a little differently. Ba'idna, in that time, Yaski Mispeda B'Yerushalayim, Kimispeda Da'achav Bar Amri. There will be a Levaya, like the Levaya of Achav Bar Amri. Dikotel Yosei Hadadrimon Bar Tavrimon. I will say, so the Levaya will be like Achav, the son of Amri, who was killed by Hadadrimon, the son of Tavrimon, who commispate the Yoshiyahu bar Amon, and like the Levi of Yoshio, the son of Amon, again another king, the Kotel Yasei Paro Chagira, who was killed by Paro Chagira. Chagira literally means lame or crippled. He was killed by Paro the crippled, Bebikas Megiddo. Now, Bosse, what is this talking about? Valodram Kavachomer. Now, Bosse, what do you mean, the Leviah of Achav bar Amri? Again, Achav bar Amri was also, Achav bar Amri does not have a Rebbe card, let's put it that way. Right? The article's not writing his biography. So the Maisa, again, what do you mean the Levi is going to be as great as Levi of Achav bar Amri? Bosse, this is amazing. Uma Achav Melech Yisrael, Shelo Asa Ela Davar Echad Tov. Achav, the king of Israel, did only one good thing. Bosse, what did he do that was good? Dechsiv, Vahamelech Haya Ma'amid B'merkava, Nochach Aram. The king remained standing in his chariot while they were fighting. I'm about to say, this is amazing. Achav bar Amri was fatal, was mortally wounded in battle, in the battle against him. He dies in battle. But what happened? He was wounded while he was in his chariot. But what did he do? He refused to slump down in his chariot. He remained standing in his chariot. Why? Because he knew that if he slumped down in his chariot, what was going to happen? The people, the army would break ranks and flee. Because if you see that the king has been mortally wounded, the battle's over. So Achav bar Amri, Rabbi, it's amazing. You know what the amazing part of Klal Yisrael is? That even the worst of us, even the worst of us, are so profoundly holy and so profoundly courageous. So here, Achav bar Amri, who is a sworn Russia, he pretty much is a sworn Russia, but yet again, he does not want the Jewish people to fall. Seeing though he's going to die in just a matter of moments, he gathers all of his strength, and he keeps himself standing in his chariot. And what happened? So Kach Baruch Rabbi Shmuel Achaz Kama Vakama. So Rabbi Kiva echoes the same theme. If Achav Bar Amri is accorded such great coveting, yet he only did one thing, of course, again, your sons, Rabbi Yishmael, or how much more so? Amrali Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari, K'siv Be'Bet Sidkiyo, B'shalom Tomos. So again, now, so that's the end. That's the end. Well, actually, it's not the end of the Nechama. We'll see. So Rava said to Rabba, so Tzidkiyo, Ksivet B'Tzidkiyo, B'shalom Tomos. So the Navi just said before that Tzidkiyo is going to die in a state of Shalom. But yet, Ksiv, V'es'enit Tzidkiyo, even Rabosai, Tzidkiyo's eyes are gouged out by Nebuchadnezzar, right? Ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar captures Tzidkiyo, kills Tzidkiyo's children right in front of him, and gouges out Tzidkiyo's eyes after that. So that should be the last thing that Tzidkiyo sees. So how do you say that Tzidkiyo died in a state of Shalom? What it means is that Nebuchadnezzar predeceased Tzidkiyo. That Tzidkiyo got to live through the death of Nebuchadnezzar, and seeing the death of that Russia allowed Tzidkiyo to die in a state of Shalom. Uksiv. It says by Yoshio that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I will collect you onto your forefathers, and you will be collected onto the grave in peace. We know by Yoshio, Vayoru Haron Lamelech Yoshio. Yoshio also dies in battle, Rabosai, and his body, remember we saw earlier in the Gemara, we actually saw some Megillah as well, his body was pierced with arrows, his body was made like a sieve. Rabosai, remember we read about this on Tisha B'Av. There is a kina, Vayikonen Yermio al Yoshiohu. So how can you say he died in peace? That his body was pierced with so many arrows that he became like a sieve. This is what it means. What does it mean that Yoshio died in peace? It means that Yoshiyahu did not witness the destruction of the temple. That while he was alive, the Beis Hamikdash still stood. And that's peace. That's shalom, not having to live through the actual destruction. Ein menachamim rasha. So we'll say that ends the story. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ein menachamim rasha lomar davar. So we've seen this already before, that the ones who come to console are not permitted to say anything until the Avel speaks first. Shene Emar, Acharechein Pasach Iov Espiu. First, Iov opened his mouth. Vahadr Vayaan Eliphaz HaTeimani. And only then it says that Eliphaz HaTeimani said something. So from here you see that the Avel must speak first, and then the Menachemim could speak afterwards. Am Rabbi Avo, Minayim lo Avel Shemesiv Barosh. Avo say, how do we know that an Avel still sits at the head of the table? Meaning, how do I know that at the end of the day, even during Avelos, the Avel is given covered and the Avel sits at the head of the table? So the Gemara says, Shene Emar, Evchar Darkom, V'ashev Barosh, V'eshkon Kemelech Begidu. So we'll see here, the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk over here from Amos. Evchar Darkom, I will choose their path. The Eshev Rosh, I will seat them at the head. The Eshkon Kemelech Bigidud, they will dwell like a king in his troop. Kasher Avelim Yinachem, as the mourners are consoled. So the Gemara says, Kasher Avelim Yinachem. So we'll say, the fact that it compares the Avel to the Melech, since just like the Melech sits at the head, so too the Avel sits at the head. The Gemara says, one second, Yinachem, Acharini Mashma, but the word Yinachim sounds like it's not talking about the Avel, but it's talking about who? Those who come to Menachemim, those who come to offer the consolation. Maybe the consoler should sit at the head. Amram Nachar by Yitzchak, Yinachim Ksiv. It could be vocalized as Yinachim, he will be consoled, a reference to the Avel himself. Marzucha Amr Hachar, Marzucha said from here, from meaning they're according an alternate source to understand that the Avel sits at the head, because he quotes over here the Pasuk from Amos. So the pasuk reads, "Lachin ata yiglu barosh golim visar mizrach seruchim." So we'll say the phrase "visar mizrach seruchim" means excessive mourning will approach. So the Gemara says, "So marzach naaseh sar l'seruchim." The redaction it is the marzach, the mourner, shall become the head l'seruchim. In this case, again, l'seruchim means the exalted ones, so that the avil sits at the head above the menachemim. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, minayin l'chassin shemesiv b'rosh. How do I know that a chassin sits at the head of a table? Shnei Emar, because the pasuk says, quoting over here the pasuk from Yeshayahu, the pasuk says, "Kechassin yechahin fair," that the chassin literally will be as glorious as the kohen. Ma kohen b'rosh. Just like Rabbi said, kohen normally sits at the head of the table. I mean, actually, b'rosh means that the kohen is at the head of everything. Af chassin b'rosh. So too, the chassan is at the head as well. The kohen gufa minalan. And how do we know that a kohen is normally berosh? He's at the head. This time of the Be'er Bishmal, because they learned in the Shir Rabbi Shmal, v'kidashto. The pasuk says by the kohen, v'kidashto, you shall sanctify him, l'chol davar shebekdusha. It means you sanctify the kohen in every matter of holiness. What does this mean? L'ftoach rishon. The Rabbah say the kohen gets the first aliyah. L'varech rishon. The kohen leads benching. L'ito manayaf rishon. The Rabbah say the kohen gets the nicest portion, he gets the nicest steak, right? That the Kohen gets the nicest portion at the table. And I will say, it's interesting, by the way, Tosus has a discussion over here as to when we say, Tosus says, Perish, Yesh li Yisrael litein lo, aval hu ein litol. So Tosus points out over here that a Kohen is entitled, but a Kohen should not take it himself, right? I'm sorry? Right, he gets very angry if you don't give it, right? So it's interesting. The Kohen is entitled, but it's interesting in the power of the kahuna, that the Kohen is entitled, but the Kohen should not necessarily actively take it himself, but the Yisrael should know that you're supposed to give it to the Kohen. Interesting idea. I'm saying, like Truma, correct, there's a concept I should bring up, there's a concept also that a Kohen should not take his Kohanic gifts bizroa. He shouldn't take it with force, even though he's entitled to it. It's part of the dignity of the kahuna. All right, in any event, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Now, we'll say now we end off with a couple of death discussions. Kashi yitzias neshama min haguf, the departure of the soul from the body is as difficult. Kitzipori b'fi haveshet, like kitzipori. Now, we'll say look at Rashi. Kitzipori b'fi haveshet, kichavel. Excuse me. Sheyesh bo kasher, v'yotze b'koshi min haTorah. So, we'll say like a knotted rope. Kitzipori is the knotted rope, b'fi haveshet, through a hole. So apparently, again, these both seem to deal with ropes that were used for boats. So they used to have ropes that had knots in there, and the knots would keep the rope from falling through the hole. But the idea is it requires an incredible amount of strength, to get the knot through the hole itself. So here, Rabbi Chanina seems to be saying that the neshama, this is not talking about pain. It's not talking about pain. This is talking about it's as difficult for the neshama to leave the body as it is to pull that knotted rope through the hole. Meaning, I will say, what does that mean? So the Maharal in the Chiddush HaGadol, he says that the neshama is very reluctant to leave the body. It's not because the neshama knows that something beautiful is waiting for it. But remember, the neshama has also spent the last X number of years living inside this guf. This is the life that it's used to. It's difficult for the neshama to leave the body, as difficult as it is to pull the rope with the knot through the hole. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kipatiri befiveshet. It's as difficult as pulling the cables. Rashi says over here, Shekosh and Shtei Svinos Biyachod. These were the cables that were used to go ahead and pull two boats together through the hole. So we'll say it's the same idea. What they're doing is, remember, they're using different metaphors because these are the metaphors that made sense to them based on their, these are the metaphors that they felt would also make the most sense for the populace. Va'om Rabbi Levi Bar Chaisa. Hanifta minas, was another interesting Gemara. It's when someone takes leave of the dead, lo yomar lo lech lishalom, ela lech bishalom. So this is something, it's important to get this right. So when a person takes leave of the dead, so a person should not say lech lishalom, go to peace, rather ela lech bishalom, go in peace. I'm about to say, now what's the difference? So lech lishalom seems to indicate that what? That lemaisa, you're going on to other things. Right, you're going on to accomplish, you're going on to other things in life. Lech bishalom means you are now in a state of peace, meaning you're dead. Right, that tranquility, that peace should continue. Haniftar min achai, if someone takes leave of the living, lo yomar lo lech bishalom, don't say to a person, go in peace, because again, remember that has the connotation of death. You're in a state of peace, and that state of peace is going to endure because you're dead. Ela lech lishalom. Go to peace, which means go accomplish more things, and those additional accomplishments should also be done in a state of shalom. Hanifta, so I'll say the Gemara says, where do you know this from? Hanifta min ames lo yomar lo lech lishalom ela bishalom. How do I know that when one takes leave of the dead, one should not say lech lishalom ela lech bishalom shene emar va'ata tavo el avosecha bishalom. Because we'll say the pasuk says, and you will come to your forefathers bishalom, in a state of peace. So we see again that bishalom is used in the context of death. Hadifter min achay lo yomar lo lech bishalom ela lishalom. Where do we know that from? But it's very interesting. Shahare David sha'amar la'av shalom lech bishalom. Because remember again, when David HaMelech took leave of his son Avshalom, so David HaMelech says, we'll say this is by the pasuk is Vayomer lo HaMelech lech bishalom vayakam vayelech Hebrona. This pasuk, by the way, is Avshalom tells his father that he's just getting together with a couple of friends to offer karbanos. And that's what kids did on a Matzah Shabbos, in biblical times, right? So I'm just getting together with a couple of friends to offer karbanos in Hebron. Remember again, when he has his friends around him, what happens? That's when he launches his rebellion against his father. So his father said, what another wonderful idea. And what does his father say? Have a good time. Lech bishalom. And David HaMelech's words were incredibly, prophetically impactful, because what happens? Avshalom dies. Avshalom dies as a result of this process, as a result of this journey, Avshalom dies. So the Gemara says, from here you see that you should never tell a living person, Lech Bishalom. Yisro Sha'amar LeMoshe, Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Lishalom, go in peace, or go to peace. Halach V'Tzliach, Moshe Rabbeinu was very successful. Okay, Rabbi said, for the last section of the Gemara, Va'amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi said, Kalayotzi mi Beis HaKnesses leBeis HaMedrash. Whoever goes from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis Medrash, umi Beis HaMedrash leBeis HaKnesses, or for that matter, goes from the Beis Medrash to the Shul. On both sides. So meaning a person is always running between the Beis Medrash, between the Shul and the Beis Medrash. Zocha umekabel pnei Shechina. Will be privileged to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll be privileged to go ahead and see the Shechina. Shene Emar. I'll say this is amazing because he quotes over the Pasek from Tehillim. Yelchu Michayil El Chayil. I will say it's interesting. We normally assume that the word Chayil means what? Strength. Right? So that's what we always tell a person, go from Chayil to Chayil. The truth is that's not the real etymology of the word. Chayil actually means multitudes. Also mean multitudes. So Lech Yelchu Michayil El Chayil. They will go from one multitude to the other multitude, which the Gemara is darshaning how. To mean, I'm going from the shul to the Beis Medrash, from the Beis Medrash to the shul, one multitude to another multitude. What does the Pasuk say? Yira El Elokim B'tzion. We'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tzion. So this idea, if you go from Chayil to Chayil, if you go from the multitudes of the Shul to the multitudes of the Beis Medrash, ultimately, again, you'll be Zochet Timim Mekal Ben Ashkenon. You will see whatever this means. You'll have this encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amir Rava, Amir Rav Chiyar Ashi, Amir Rav, Tamidi Chachamim, was another amazing Gemara, Tamidi Chachamim, Ein Lahem Menucha, Afilu Liolam Haba. I will say this is amazing. So Rav Chiyar Ashi says, Tamidi Chachamim, they have no rest even in the world to come. What was it? What Shana Emar? Because the pasuk says, Yelchu Michayil El Chayil Yira El Elokim B'tzion. Because what does the pasuk say? They will go from the multitudes to the multitudes, and they will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Zion. So of course, in this context, what the multitudes are referring to are what? From this world to the next world. I will say, first of all, that last piece is so profound. You know, so Levi Yitzchak Berdichev comments on that piece of Tamdi Chacham Eila Menucha is this idea of saying that life, you know, he says that a tzaddik is called an omeid, is called a holich, and a rasha is called an omeid. That, and the Rebbe says so beautifully, he says that people have this mistaken notion that life is about relaxation. That it's all about taking it easy. That what am I? I'm working. That you know, I don't want to be too stressed. I don't really want to push myself too hard. You know, I have to take things slowly. It says, life is all about pushing yourself, and life is all about the journey, and life is all about growth, and life is all about being a holich. Every single day you have to walk. Every single day you have to journey. Because what distinguishes the tzaddik and the rasha is not how many mitzvot you do, and it's not ultimately how much Torah you learn. It's what is your allegiance to life? Is your allegiance in life to a program of perpetual growth? Are you constantly moving? Or are you standing in place? If you're standing in place, then ultimately, again, unfortunately, that is a deficient life. But if you're always moving, if you're always growing, if you're always walking, that's the sign of tzidkus. And the Rebbe says, comments in this Gemara, says, that's the pshat of Tamidi Chachamim, Ein Lehem Menucha. The worst thing you could ever tell Tamid Chacham, a righteous individual, is what? Is that when you finish life in this world, your growth is finished. What a terrible Olam Haba if there's an Olam Haba of stagnation. If there's nothing waiting for me in the world to come but just, this is it, and I just have an eternity to kind of sit here, like it's an eternal vacation for the Talmud Chacham. Ultimately, again, that is not something that Talmud Chacham ultimately aspires to or yearns for. But if you tell the Talmud Chacham, I have good news for you. You know what? The same that you are a holich in this world, you'll be a holich in the world to come as well, that the world to come offers you new vistas of growth, new vistas of opportunities. That's Olam Haba. That's beautiful. So what's so beautiful about Olam Haba? Because you have the vistas of growth and the vistas of opportunity without what? Without all of the difficult stressors of this world. Oh, now that's a Gan Eden. That's a Gan Eden. That's Olam Haba. To be a holich, all of the growth, all of the opportunities for self-development, spiritual self-development, without all of the stressors of life, that's a beautiful Olam Haba. And therefore, to the tzaddikim, we say, Yelchu Michayil El Chayil. They go, yes, from the multitudes of this world to the multitudes of the next world. They go ultimately again from the growth of this world to the growth of the next world, and they will be Zocha Yira El Elokim Tzion. I will say, we should be Zocha Mir Tzashem as well, as we come to the conclusion of this particular Masechta. And we should be Zocha also to realize that, you know, the beauty of the Daf Yomi is that every single day a person could say, I learned the Blat Gemara, I was a holech. I literally just journeyed through in a definable, observable way. I've journeyed through another concrete piece of the Yam Shel Talmud. Every single day when we get up and we deprive ourselves of sleep and we come here every single morning to learn, it's only for one reason, and that is because we want to journey. We want to grow. We want to advance ourselves. We want to push ourselves. That we need today to be better than yesterday, and we need next year to be so much better than last year, and that's exactly what we do every single morning. And we should be Zoche Amir Tzashem to continue to do it. Again, you know, we're starting Chagiga tomorrow morning, and it was a very exciting Chagiga is our last Masechta in Seder Moed, which means that Amir Tzashem, and again, a little bit over a month from now, we will have completed Amir Tzashem Seder Moed, which means we have completed our first sixth 6th of Shas together. An incredible, incredible, magnificent accomplishment. We should be zocha to be holchim together. We should be zocha to be holchim until 120. We should be zocha, miras Hashem, to be holchim in this world and the next. And every single day of the journey, every single day of the halicha should be meaningful, should be fulfilling, and should be uplifting. Mazel tov. Oh, we'll say the siyum is on Shabbos. In Yiratz Hashem, we are going to be sponsoring the Kiddush. In Yiratz Hashem, this Shabbos, we'll make the siyum in Yiratz Hashem in Shul. After davening, we'll be sponsoring the Kiddush on Shabbos. You'll speak to Ari for details, the details about the Kiddush. Now for Seder Moed, for when we finish Chagiga, we're finishing Chagiga before Sukkot. So in Yiratz Hashem, our siyum, our gala siyum, for a Seder, we're taking out Gatra College, yeah. For Seder Moed, in Yiratz Hashem, we hope to make God willing on Simchas Torah itself. So again, Ari's going to send out information about that as well. Go from here.